This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Centering pass, McDavid scores! Connor McDavid wins it for Canada!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk about Four Nations. Did you watch? Were you impressed or, you know, maybe just sad about the end? It is also a shout-out Friday. I like this from the 469. Shout-out to you guys. It'll be great getting classic KNC Masterpiece. Any chance of any more older segments coming back, like Versus or the Wheel of Misfortune or Masterpiece Theater? We did Moral Compass yesterday, so I think the odds of at least two of those three coming back are very high.
Kevin also did, I don't know if you just read this one, but Corey, can I get a shout out? I'm going to get a new Elite controller today when I get off to get back on the COD grind.
Nice.
I don't know how I feel about
that. It stands for Call of Duty.
Yes, that is what it means. And as the arbiter of all shout outs, I felt like it was necessary that I reveal that I'm back for it.
So absolutely.
Y'all didn't let any shout outs get out this week, right?
No.
Alec?
Not on my end.
All right.
Maybe.
I'm going to have to go back and track them. Just see.
Yeah, listen to all, what would that be, like 16 hours that you missed in total airtime, please?
I can do that.
Okay.
I probably should have been doing it this week, though.
No, yeah. I don't think any shout-outs got through. All right. I just want everyone to calm down before I tell you this, all right? Alec, are you calm?
No!
Okay. Corey, mm-hmm. Are you calm?
I actually am calm because I feel good about the future.
Okay. Evan Grant, just calm down, okay?
The future. Hold on,
Evan Grant and Kennedy.
I felt good about the future of hockey, Kevin.
Yeah, I thought this was hockey. What are you doing?
This is a hockey segment.
We're going to get to hockey in just 1 second. Evan Grant and Kennedy Landry have reported that per Bruce Bochy, Wyatt Langford, calm down, has a mild strain of his left oblique. He will be down from baseball activities for 5 to 7 days.
That's the most important oblique.
It really is.
Out of all the obliques.
Is it?
Yeah, and especially if you're a right-handed hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So being a right-handed hitter, your left oblique is the one that pulls everything around. It's part of your torque.
It's how you swing.
This is bad.
Boach said this should have no impact on opening day, 5 to 7 days.
But what about his spring training? He's supposed to be working on his swing and his hit. So how is he supposed to get that work in? I understand it's not going to affect opening day. But it's going to all the spring training at bats. He's got to get those cuts in.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but he's already ready. He said a couple days ago, last year, he was pressing to make the team. This year, he's just going to make sure it's his year.
All right.
So,
okay.
I told you not to freak out.
Well, it says 5 to 7 days, right? Is that what you said? 5 to 7 days?
5 to 7 days.
So, yeah. See, I thought, man, you know, I was so busy panicking once I heard oblique.
I said, don't panic.
I was terrified. But that sounds like it's doable. I think you're going to be okay. By the time that means he has more time to hang out with us. Next week, whenever we head out there.
I'm really sure that's what he's looking for.
Boach is going
to
be like, yeah, go on up there and hang out with the KNC.
Hey, guys.
They're good fellas.
Can't really do any baseball stuff. Can I hang out with you? Although there is precedent for that. Last year, John Gray definitely wanted to join our show and leave baseball behind.
Multiple times. He loves our show.
All right. Since you need something to cheer us up, give me cut number 2, and then we can pretend that this game ended happily.
And back on a K
All right. Is it safe to assume that last night lived up to the hype? I mean, look, putting aside like, hey, I'm disappointed the United States lost. It feels like this game had an immense amount of hype on it, and it delivered.
And it had an immense amount of hype because of what they did in the first time they played.
For sure.
Like, that game was so amazing. I know we were texting back and forth during that game. That game was so amazing that it set up for, are we going to get 2.0 of that?
Yeah.
And you got the same physicality. You got the same speed of the game. You got those things without as much of the chippiness to start, obviously. But there was still chippiness throughout the game that was really great part of it. I thought, Kevin, while I was watching it, I think somewhere in the third period, I was watching these guys fly around on the ice, and I was like, this is the highest level hockey I think I've ever seen.
Yep.
That, like, this is the best. They're flying, for one. Once one offense makes a move this way, they're turning back around and going the other way as fast as they can because that's how Canada plays.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And all of a sudden, but and you're like, and if in most cases on NHL nights, you're like, oh, that team just got destroyed. Well, because they're so good, they're able to catch up. Like, that was the great part of it, was it was a very delicate window that they were able to make goals happen here. And it was awesome to watch.
And I want to shout out, Alec, and then I want to get your thoughts about the hype level and how you took this game in and everything. But I want to shout out some of the specific individual defending moments, because you had Slavin, who stopped what looks like it would have been a wide open net goal. Eichel.
Which one? The one with where he with like his skate or stick? No, did
that
it?
Was so or that
the
was
one where he laid on the ground and had one of the coolest saves I've seen.
That was the stick. Eichel right after that had no stick and he stopped it with the skate, which I thought was incredible. Man, the last 12 to 18 months have really been like the match of the hype behind Jack Eichel, because you know, for a while, like, obviously moved teams and everything, but it was a struggle, man. You have seen him really announce himself. And then, as much as I hate to say this, overtime was the best that Team USA had played all night. And you had Binnington in the span of, it was like 40 seconds. He had the overtime stop on Matthews. And then Tkachuk a minute later. And then Matthews again on the ensuing faceoff. Those were three, like, Corey, you were talking about the delicate intricacies of setting up these scoring chances. There are three scoring chances back to back to back. And I think Jordan Binnington, he gets crapped on, and they're already looking for a way to replace him for the Olympics.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year, but that trio of stops right there, this game was so close to being over the other way.
It was Slavin about 8 minutes left in the third period that laid down on the ice and stopped one that looked like it was a wide open slap shot.
Unbelievable.
And that was the moment that I thought to myself, I was like, oh, the U.S. is going to win. He just put his body on the line for it. And this is because, honestly, how many times do you hear coaches in the playoffs saying, we got to drop down on pucks. We got to get in front of them. We got to.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it. And you're like, we applaud the stars whenever we see three or four different dudes doing that. To see one guy in a not professional game, in a game that is an international game, do that. That was special to me. And I was like, America's winning this one. unfortunately, overtime happened, and the best player on the ice got the goal because...
That's tough to argue
everyone,
with.
Like, I saw a video while I was laying in bed, Kevin. I was watching a video, and all the players were asked who they would pick to be on their team. And they were like, all of them were saying McDavid. Everybody had somebody different, but like I think Jake Ottinger said Esa Lindell. He was like, he's the best defender out there. But they all said, I think we're being dumb by not saying if we don't say McDavid. And yeah, that's just what he does.
Alec, I've seen you shaking your head a lot positively in this segment. Safe to assume that this game had what you wanted, what hockey needed is what I want to say. Because I want to get to you specifically, but like hockey needed this to be a big time event too, because of how many new fans might have been converted in the last like 8 to 10 days. Is so many people, it's kind of the funny thing where like you find experts automatically and there's all these people that are, you know, now like, oh, well, this needs to happen.
It had the same effect.
You didn't even know what Four Nations was.
It was the same effect as the World Baseball Classic a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I liked watching Twitter throughout the night, just seeing how many people are like, don't have any clue what is happening right now, but I'm so into this, you know, and I'm hoping there's a residual effect of some people. Maybe they do see Connor McDavid with the game winner, and they're like, I want to watch that guy more. Like, yeah. I've heard everybody on the national telecast saying, this guy, he's legit. He's the best player in hockey right now. I need to watch this guy. And I like how that was like the final question of his post-game interview was, you know, what's your message to maybe the people who aren't fans of hockey that are watching right now? And he was like, we have a beautiful game, man.
Yeah.
Like, we really do. And I hope you guys were entertained because this is some of the best hockey that I've been a part of. So, you know, I'm hoping that some people realize that the best player on the planet is saying that. It's probably got some truth to it.
Was it McKinnon who said, man, I really suck tonight?
Yes. And,
okay.
That was so good, too.
That was. He was like, I was not good tonight. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, well, your team won. That's good, right? And he's like, yeah, but not because of me.
And it's one of the last gladiator sports, too, you know, that we talk about whenever you're talking about real, you know, battles like this. Jonathan Cox texted in and said, Canada did have the best two players in the league with McDavid and McKinnon. Kevin, I think that if we don't include Sidney Crosby in the conversation of like not just best one of the best players in the league, but one of the best players to touch ice, like that dude, it seems like every team he's on, you stand a chance of being in important games, no matter if it's international or, you know, just a friendly. If you're on his team, you're going to be in that mix.
I mean, think about at a time when like best on best international hockey, you haven't had the opportunity to really see it a lot. Sid the Kid can roll in there. Well, I guess not so much the kid anymore. He can roll in there and say, yeah, I was captain for the team that won it all in the Four Nations tournament that really seems to have like jump-started again some interest in hockey. And I was also the captain on the Olympic team in, was it 2010, I believe, and scored the golden goal in overtime to give us the gold medal. Oh, not to mention 3-time Stanley Cup champion and 2-time playoff MVP, just if you wanted to add that in there. He's an incredible player who he just seems to be around winning.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And he knows what it's about. And he might not be the one that's scoring all the goals, but he'll facilitate. Go look at how many times he was setting up goals throughout this run. Kevin, the U.S. has won the last two World Major Junior Championships.
Hell yeah.
And Canada didn't make the finals last year. So the future with like Quinn Hughes, Cole Caulfield, Lane Hudson, even Jason Robertson wasn't on this team. That, like, just think about who wasn't on this team that still has a future on it.
Quinn Hughes is a great example because Quinn Hughes is the guy who they were going to bring up to the team and they found out through, like, I don't know, minutiae of the rules and stuff like that, that they couldn't actually put him on the team.
Oh, they couldn't Mark Stone cheat
it? Yes. They could not circumvent the calf in that way with Quinn Hughes. So he was not going to be able to jump on immediately. But that's a kid who's a stud. Eric Chiafalo, I know he did a whole segment on it yesterday and was talking about it. And they mention it on the broadcast. So many of these players have played together for the United States for a really long time. You know how in basketball we talk about how like the only reason the United States would lose in some of these competitions is that all these other teams have played together so long. It's weird because that's kind of like Canada, where like we're one of the scrappy underdog teams that has a better shot because we've played together for so long. Like, obviously, the Tkachuks come to mind. They played together their entire life.
Got a ton of respect for the Tkachuks, dude, after this run.
I'm telling you.
And Austin Matthews.
I don't think any three American players have upped their standing in the world more than the Tkachuks and Austin Matthews right there. And, like, I'm kind of curious. I know we won't find this out today. Is there going to be any lingering positive or negative effect for any of these people? Specifically, Hellebuyck looked like someone had just shot his dog after he gave up that goal. And, like, that team has been on a freaking roll. I'm kind of curious if that will have any carryover into the actual rest of the season.
You know, we've talked to players that have been at the World Series, been in, you know, big-time playoff games, and finding that rush.
Yeah.
In the regular season is always hard, especially after you just did that. So I think these guys love their sport and they understand it so much. I don't think there will be, but you got a good question there.